Recorded Books presents E-Day 3, Dark Moon, by Nicholas Sansbury Smith. Narrated by R.C. Bray. To my editing team, Ziggy, Lynn, Yolanda, Tony, and everyone else, thank you for your assistance and encouragement. You helped me bring this saga to life. Let your plans be dark and impenetrable as night, and when you move, fall like a thunderbolt. Sun Tzu. Chapter 1. Rattling echoed through the caverns. Engine Lieutenant Andy Jackson crouched behind a rock wall with two Coalition soldiers holding his energy axe while he tried to pinpoint the location of the advancing canebrakes. The click and hiss of their electronic communications ricocheted from every direction. The island was crawling with the metal monsters. Jackson was somewhere on the eastern side of Katba Island, deep inside the cave system of the mountains. He couldn't say exactly where. For the past few hours, he had pushed deeper inside the labyrinthine tunnels, trying to find a place of refuge to ride out the attack. The two Coalition soldiers he had linked up with were just behind Jackson, their antlered helmets moving through the darkness like two blind deer. Neither had night vision optics, but they weren't stupid enough to turn on their flashlights. He guided them through the black corridors using his infrared night vision sights, INVs. It was too dark to make out much other than rough shapes, even with his augmented vision. But his other senses helped him navigate the treacherous environment. Jackson listened to the drip of water, clink of metal against stone, and the distant rattle of the machines. Sweat dripped down his face as his heartbeat quickened. Over the last month, in the face of death and danger, it had continued to beat for only one thing. Fighting. That time had come. Even so, as the clawed feet and blades of canebrakes scuttling through the caverns got closer, the 7-foot-tall and 260-pound engine felt a trickle of fear. He still couldn't tell which direction they were coming from. The Coalition fighters heard it too and ducked in response, their armor clanking against each other. Jackson turned and brought a finger to his helmet. The soldiers froze, silent, while Jackson kept listening. The clatter of the canebrakes faded away, melting back into the caves. After another few minutes of silence, Jackson was comfortable enough to turn on the datapad screen built into his armored wrist. He brought it up to the Coalition commandos. Both removed their helmets to have a good look. They were young men, maybe 18, perhaps younger, hardly older than boys. Not a surprise to Jackson. He was used to fighting against kids in his career. The Coalition didn't have an age requirement, and anyone could join. He would never forget seeing a 10-year-old try and lift a pulse cannon in Egypt 3 years ago. It did not end well for the kid when he fired at a piston squad. But while these young men were young, the tattoos across their face and antlers on their helmets indicated they had experienced combat. Death and killing was no stranger to them. Chances were good they had even brought down someone Jackson knew. It didn't matter now. Not with the canebrakes and the behemoth walking towers of metal. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Jackson raised the datapad to get a better view of the young men's faces. Blood seeped from both their ears. Their eardrums had likely ruptured when the superstructure machine let out one of its high-pitched, screaming sonar bursts. Jackson and the other engines were protected by their helmets and augmented ears, but these soldiers had suffered painful injuries and likely hearing loss. That made communicating hard, especially when he wanted to ask them how the hell to get out of here. He tapped out the message on his screen. The two kids exchanged a glance, then shook their heads, unsure.
"I'm a guard, not a scout,"
said one in a scratchy voice, a little too loud. He was overcompensating for his damaged hearing.
"Too dark to know where we are,"
said the other, just as loudly. Jackson raised a finger to his lips again, signaling them to talk quieter.
"Please, don't leave us behind," said the first kid.
Jackson almost felt bad for them. A glance at their antlers reminded him they had killed his brothers and sisters in the war with the Nova Alliance.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?